Hello, boys. I'm back. When I arrived back in the office in the studio last night, that's the first thing I thought of. Going online, finding a picture of Randy Quaid from the movie Independence Day just before he went up into the spaceship. You know, he'd claimed he'd been abducted by aliens before, and before he was getting ready to go up there and blow them up, that's what he hollered out. And that's kind of the way I felt, but boy, it's been a long day. Howdy! I shouldn't talk that way. It sounds like I've been hanging around Texas too long. Good evening and welcome to a Friday night installment of Life, Liberty, and All That Jazz. I, you know, have not been here since, I don't know what day, Wednesday, and technical issues Wednesday and Tuesday, other side issues. It's been a crazy week. I feel like I haven't been here for a week. But welcome to Life, Liberty, and All That Jazz. Jeff Bennett back behind the microphone. Won't be going anywhere for about 10 days, and then I'm taking off with Uncle Bill as we head to our annual sojourn up to the Grand Canyon or other parts unknown, so I'll be gone for a few days then. But that'll pretty much bring my traveling to an end for a while. Well, we're glad to have you here on Republic Broadcasting Network on a Friday evening. I noticed that Robbie had massive technical difficulties this afternoon, in and out, on and off. It was crazy. I think he's still trying to fight the issue. I've watched him try to get on or off. It's not that I'm spying on him. We each have Skype, and so each of us knows when the other one's either gone online or offline, and I typically tend not even to shut mine off. It's just on all the time, but he signs in and out, and he's still 2 hours after showtime. Coming in and out every once in a while. It's been an interesting week, been an interesting month. Certainly, all the markets have taken an absolute veritable bloodbath this month. The Wall Street ended a very poor quarter. New York Stock Exchange was down some 240 points today to close below 11,000 once again. NASDAQ off 65 points. At 24.15, S&P 500 down nearly 29 points at 11.31. 10-year yield on bonds, et cetera, is off 0.3 at 1.92%. What a joke. Who would invest their money into something for 1.92%? I don't know. Stay with us. We'll be back in a few minutes. We're going in a whole different direction tonight.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendova.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Attention RBN listeners. The Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees. But we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Once again, taking a look at some market conditions. I honestly don't really have the time to spend on it today. It's the end of the week. You've pretty much heard it all anyway. I don't think there's any need to embellish the markets. I mean, literally, the markets were drawn in third quarter, if you want to call it that way. Even the metals markets were drastically reduced. But you know what? All the people complaining to me about, oh, my God, gold and silver, look what's happened to the mole. It's all over. You know what? It at the height of the market, nearly just shy of 2 months ago, gold had actually was up 44% for the year from its low on January the 7th or something like that. Do you know that even with all this, gold is still up 22% this year? How many other investments are you sticking your money in that are up 22% this year? But no, all I got to do is listen to the whiners complain about, oh, it's going down. Well, so did Monica Lewinsky, but what difference did that make in the scheme of things? Global Dow off 45 points at $1,726. Gold up $9 in the aftermarket, but still in that 16 and a quarter area. It's good. Come on, it's down 200 and some odd dollars from its high, and it's been a tremendous buying opportunity, and I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to get into a whole sales pitch, but frankly, people have been doing exactly that. Oil down $3.39 a barrel, $78.75. So what are the whiners complaining about? Well, gee, you know, if the cost of oil and gas goes down, that's going to be terrible for the economy. Why? Because the government won't be able to get so many tax bucks out of you? Oh, that's right, then they'll come after us for more. Silver below $30 in the aftermarket, down 70 cents on the day at $29.97. Platinum, for I don't know what reason, seems to be doing okay at $1,523 an ounce. And that's kind of the end of the market thing for the day. You know, I'm not going to concentrate. I came across something this morning that was just intriguing as all heck get out to me, and I did not read all of it, but I found it interestingly enough that you know, with all these discussions, I'm coming home, I'm listening to all this political wrangling about Cain, the guy who's the black gentleman who's running for the Republican nominee. And people are whining and complaining, oh, he was a member of the Fed. Oh, he made lousy pizza. Oh, he this. Oh. You know, I'm convinced that there ain't nobody. And if Jesus Christ were to go ahead and give his appearance of the second coming today and show up at midnight tonight, I'm convinced that people in America wouldn't support him to run for the presidency. First of all, we've become so jaded that nobody would even believe it was Jesus Christ. Secondly, you got a bunch of cats over here that want to celebrate Kwanzaa that are going to say, well, okay, he's not the white cat that artists have painted, and he is a little of darker persuasion, but his hair isn't kinky enough. And then, of course, you got the Muslims are going to be whipping madder than hell that it ain't Muhammad. You're never going to satisfy people in this country. They're jaded. Period. Why would you expect our politicians to be any different? So everybody's picking on Kane. And you know, and I heard some comments over the weekend and different people sent me things. I realized that wouldn't it be funny if Kane wound up actually being selected as the Republican nominee or the guy that's going to be up against Barack Obama? I mean, this would be like one of those old Hercules movies of the 1960s, except this one we could call Kane and Unable. My opinion. Don't have to agree with it. But the fact of the matter is the people on the street can't agree. The people in D.C. can't agree. Everybody's, you know, the whole Obama administration, it's the Republicans' fault. It's the Republicans' fault. Well, finally, even Joe Biden came out and said, no, no longer. Now we own it. It's our fault. Now, you can guess, rest assured, Joe Biden isn't going to remain on the ticket. Angry and frustrated Americans went to the polls in November of 2010 to take back their country, just as they had done in 2008, 2006, and repeatedly for decades, whether it was Republicans or Democrats from whom they were taking the country back. Doesn't matter who is put in charge, things don't get any better in this country. Not going to happen this time either. Oh, spending levels may go down for a while. Taxes may go up. Budgets will change. But American government, my friends, whether you like it or not, is going to go on the way it has. Not as a collective enterprise, but as a battle between warring tribes. Granny's been telling you about this for years. This is the ultimate two-headed snake story. Now, if we are truly, and I know I'll get emails on this, if we are truly a democracy, if voters get to size up candidates for a public office and choose the one they want, why don't the elections seem to change anything? Simple. Because we elect our leaders, and then they govern in a system that makes cooperation almost impossible and incivility nearly inevitable. A system in which the campaign season never ends and the struggle for party advantage trumps all other considerations. Now, when Democrat Nancy P. Lousy became Speaker of the House, the leader of the lawmaking branch of government, she said her priority was to elect more Democrats. And so after Republican victories in 2010, the Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell said his goal was to prevent Obama's reelection. Well, my friends, with the country at war and the economy in recession, our government leaders' first thoughts have been of nothing more than party advantage. Oh, this is not an accident. You see, ours is a system focused not on collective problem solving, but on a struggle for power between two private organizations. Party activists control access to the ballot through closed party primaries and conventions. Partisan leaders design congressional districts. And once elected to Congress, our representatives are divided into warring camps. Partisans decide what bills to take up, what witnesses to hear, what amendments to follow. Of course, many Americans assume that, well, that's just how government works. That's how it's always been. It's the system the founders created. But my friends, what we have today is a far, far cry from what the founders intended. Washington and James Madison both warned of the dangers posed by political parties. Defenders of the party system argued that parties, including Madison's own, arose almost immediately after the nation was founded. But those were not parties in the modern sense. They were factions uniting on a few major issues, not marching in lockstep on every issue, large and small. And while some defend the party system as a
necessary provider of cues to voters who otherwise might not know how to vote. The internet, mass media now make it possible for voters to educate themselves about candidates for office. Yes, internet and mass media, unlike the television days of old. They certainly didn't tell us much of a damn thing, did they? The news was delayed by half a day. Now news is out there in a matter of minutes. You see, what we have today, my friends, is not the legacy of 1789, but an outdated relic of the late 1800s and early 1900s, when progressives pushed for the adoption of primary elections. By 1916, all but a handful of states had instituted the direct primary system, under which a party candidate was selected by a public vote rather than by party leaders in backroom deals. Well, on the surface, that should have been good. But the primaries and the nominating conventions were open only to party members, and it's pretty much that way today. Look, here in Arizona, if you want to participate in the primary election, there's a Republican primary and there's a Democratic primary. If you're registered as an independent or a libertarian, you can't vote in the Republican or Democratic primaries. It's that simple, and I'm sure it's that way around most of the rest of the country. Of course, the original reform was supposed to give citizens a bigger role in the, what should we call it, selection process. But instead, the influence of party leaders has been supplanted by that of a subset of party activists who are often highly ideological and largely uninterested in finding common ground. In Delaware, in 2010, a mere 30,000 of that state's nearly 1 million people kept Mike Castle, a popular congressman and former governor, off the general election ballot. A popular congressman and former governor. They kept him off the ballot. In Utah, 3,500 people meeting in a closed convention deprived the rest of the state's 3 million residents of an opportunity to consider reelecting their longtime senator, Robert Bennett. He's the guy that made the big stink about Y2K years ago. Stay with us. We'll talk more about the insanity going on in this nation today.
Never in my word land could there be words to reveal.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
Coming back with a little bit of Ella Fitzgerald on this Friday evening. Life, liberty, and all that jazz. Talking tonight about, I guess to some degree, maybe what has gone wrong in this country. I mean, after all, don't you think it's time for both Republicans and Democrats to become Americans again? For most of the voters who go to the polls in November, the names on the ballots have been reduced to only those candidates that the political parties will allow them to choose between. That's why I call it a selection process, not election. Americans demand a multiplicity of options in almost every other single aspect of our lives. And yet we allow small bands of activists to limit our choices of people to represent us in making the nation's laws. And, of course, what has become so obvious in recent years is they really no longer represent us anyway. Now, I'm not calling for a magical political center. Many of the most important steps forward in our history have not come from the center at all, including women's suffrage and the civil rights movement, and even our founding rebellion against the Limey Crown. And nor am I pleading for consensus. Consensus, you see, is not possible in a diverse nation of 300 plus million people, give or take 30 or 40 million illegals. Compromise has become the essential ingredient in legislative decision making. But we're not pushing for harmony. You see, democracy depends on vigorous debate among competing views. Problem is not division, but partisanship. Advantage seeking by private clubs whose central goal is to win political power. Well, there are different ways to conduct elections and manage our government and strengthen the democratic process. Some of the suggestions that have been designed to turn our political system on its head, not that I agree with all of them, but they're certainly well worth consideration. So that once again, people, we the people, not the parties, we the people, control our government. First of all, we must break the power of partisans to keep candidates off the general election ballot. There's candidates that, quite obvious, shouldn't be there. State and local governments have abdicated their responsibility to oversee America's election process, my friends. Not only have they turned the job over to the political parties, but they take money from taxpayers to pay for those party functions. And because activists who demand loyalty and see compromising as selling out dominant party primaries and conventions, candidates who seek their permission to be on the November ballot find themselves under great pressure to take the hardline positions. That tendency toward rigidity in the party system that enables it is at the root of today's political dysfunction. More and more voters are opting out of that system. Oh, yes, in some national surveys, nearly 40% of voters now describe themselves as independent. Massachusetts, where the Republican Senator Scott Brown won the seat previously held by Democrat Ed Fat Teddy Kennedy. The largest numbers of voters are not Democrats or Republicans, but unenrolled, as they call themselves. Of course, Scott Brown turned out to be a phony. He's nothing but Kennedy Light. In 2010, Californians voted to create an open primary system in which every candidate for a particular office, regardless of party, would appear on the same ballot, and every voter who wished to participate, also regardless of party, would be able to choose among them. The top two would advance to the general election, even if they belonged to the same party. Of course, Louisiana has long had a top two, everybody runs primary system. Washington State adopted a similar one in 2004. There's only one problem with that. In Washington State, the same bunch of whores seem to keep on going back to office. But voters in Washington have a much wider range of options. They get Republicans and Democrats and independents and third or fourth party candidates. And if all candidates could get their messages out through free mailings or free television time, minor party candidates would, in fact, actually have a better chance of finishing in the top two in an open primary than on a general election ballot that pits two major party giants against each other and discourages supporters of other parties from voting for long-shot candidates. These are amongst the reasons people like Chuck Baldwin, Ron Paul, at least in the past, Ron Paul seems to have been, at least he's been given somewhat greater consideration today. But people, you know, Chuck Baldwin ran at one time. I can't think of some of the other candidates that have run. Today they would have a better chance because the internet is more and more forcing the issue, which is good. Now, you got to keep in mind that just the act of establishing an open primary would break the partisan and ideological chokehold on the general election ballot, create a much truer system of democratic self-government. And as a result, members of Congress would have greater freedom to base their legislative decisions on their constituents' concern and on their own independent evaluations of a proposal's merit. But as it stands today, these characters only vote the way that Zapati tells them to do so. If they did it the other way, they'd once again be our representatives, not that of the political clubs. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees. Just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous-based metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, and metal expansion and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate on itself, as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphite. It also offers the tremendous benefit of being non-toxic. It is used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
No, we're here. I've not nodded off yet. Believe me, there were times today, about an hour before airtime, I could have very, very easily just flat nodded off. Amazing grace. Welcome back to a Friday night installment of Life, Liberty, and all that jazz. Talking tonight about some suggestions of things that must be taken into consideration in this country. You know, we talk about Steve Voss's song, We Must Take America Back. Until the kind of changes we're discussing tonight truly take effect, we get the lobbyists out of Washington, D.C., and we in effect, start taking an exceedingly active part in the local process, you're not going to see any changes. Next suggestion might be to turn over the process of redrawing congressional districts to independent, nonpartisan commissions. This has been a big problem. My first foray into direct political activity or activism took place in Flagstaff, Arizona many years ago, where that, in fact, was the fight. We lived in a small rural community that was predominantly white. We had a few Native Americans living in the area. But when the Coconino County Board of Supervisors made a decision to redistrict everything, they were going to take our little community located 5 miles south of Flagstaff and couple it up with a community up on the Navajo Indian Reservation, which would have now made us the minority voters. Well, it continues to happen in states all over this country where all of a sudden they don't like the way the voting has gone because all of a sudden we've got maybe a so-called conservative or Republican leadership within that county or that district. All of a sudden, we've got this massive need to redo the districts, and all of a sudden, this guy is not really representing the district that he ran in. In 1976, there was a gentleman who became the first Republican elected to Congress in an Oklahoma district in 48 years. Three-quarters of the voters were Democrats because he easily won his next two races. Democrats were pessimistic about their ability to recapture the seat, and they used their majorities in the state legislature to redraw the district's borders. And so instead of encompassing a single urban county, Oklahoma City's in the center of the state, his new district stretched north to Kansas and east nearly to Arkansas in a huge upside-down an upside-down L, more or less. The goal was to put as many Republicans as possible in this guy's district in order to make neighboring districts from which those Republicans have been removed safer for Democrats. The new district was more rural, embracing five counties filled with wheat farms, cattle ranches, rather than being represented by a member of their own community familiar with their concerns, which is why the Constitution, by the way, requires that senators and representatives be inhabitants of the states that elect them. Those voters were now represented by a congressman unfamiliar with the agricultural issues on which their livelihoods depended. And the urban and diverse communities that had been represented in Oklahoma City were now served by a congressman who simultaneously had to represent a very different constituency. Well, in the end, the strategy failed. The state became more conservative. In addition to his own district being remaining Republican, adjoining districts also began electing Republicans. And the attempt to lock in party advantage had sacrificed the important constitutional guarantees that a legislator serve as the voice of a community. Community interests had been subordinated to the interests of, you've got it, a political party. But things don't have to be that way. Although legislative majorities continue to draw district lines in most states, there are 13 states, most recently California, by the way, who have established nonpartisan or bipartisan redistricting commissions, and two additional states have created merely advisory commissions. The systems vary. Some use commissions to propose plans that legislatures must approve. Others strip the legislator of all redistricting authority, but each of the 13 recognizes that the partisan drawing of congressional district boundaries has hurt the democratic process, leaving elected officials dependent on and beholden to the party bosses who draw their districts. You tell me it's not like that where you live? I'd love to hear from you. Next, I think we'd have to continue to allow members of any party to offer amendments to any House bill, and with rare exception, put those amendments to a vote. A real vote that people could watch exactly the response and see what's going on. On the day that our author was sworn in as a member of Congress, all the newbies, including Al Gore, Little Dickie Gephardt, Dan Quayle, David Stockman, and Jim Leach, were a single band. But after taking the oath of office, they were divided into rival teams. First came the vote to elect a new speaker, then to adopt House rules written by the majority, then to consider the membership of committees with party ratios decided by the majority. And from that moment on, during the 16 years that he served in Congress, and every day since his last term ended, he says, I've seen the United States Congress as it actually functions, not as a gathering of America's chosen leaders to confront together the problems we face in this country, but as competing armies on the floor, in committees, in subcommittees, determined to dominate or destroy. And that, my friends, is what's happening in this country. Oh, one need not deny the majority the chance to lead in agenda shaping. Electoral victories, whether by margins large or small, does matter. But before Jim Wright ascended to the speakership, in 1987, most debates, even under the decidedly partisan Tip O'Neill, allowed ample opportunity for dissent and amendment. But in recent years, however, to be in the minority is essentially to be made a non-factor in the legislative process. Leaders of both chambers have embraced the strategy of precluding minority amendments out of fear that even members of the majority party might vote for them, because they believe either that it's the right thing to do or that it's what the people they represent prefer. Or we're told that that's what the people they represent prefer. Those are closed rules. And that prevents members from offering amendments. Simply tell citizens their preferences don't matter. And we've seen much of that. The big debates over Obamacare some years ago. People like Claire McCaskill, people like Barney Frank and Pelosi and so many others, quote, listened to what their constituents had to say at various town hall meetings and then promptly did what they felt was best for all. course, now Speaker John Boehner of Boehner deserves credit for promising greater opportunities for the minority party to have its amendments considered. But promising it and making it come to pass are two different things. Now, under Boehner's speakership, the Republican-dominated House has actually accepted some Democratic amendments. The House now has fewer closed rules and more modified open rules, which permit at least some challenges to the leader's agenda. Of course, the allowing for those challenges are more political theater than anything else. But whether the procedure will be open or closed on any particular matter remains at the discretion of the majority leadership. And in cases where the political commitment is particularly strong, for example, on the Republican challenge to health care legislation passed during Democratic control, the promises of openness have been quickly abandoned. The House should adopt rules guaranteeing that any proposal receiving a significant level of support, maybe 100 or so co-sponsors, would automatically be allowed a committee hearing, an up or down vote in committee, and then, even if it fails in committee, a vote on the House floor. Some majority members may abandon the team and vote with their constituents or their own consciences. But isn't that what we elect representatives for? And since the rules for House floor debate are determined not by parliamentary procedure, but by what a rules committee constituted anew for each session of Congress, equal numbers of Republic rats or demagogues should sit on that committee, as opposed to the current practice of conferring a big advantage on the majority. Oh, and both parties are equally as guilty of it, my friends. Don't kid yourself. And so what we then must begin to do is to change the leadership structure of congressional committees. You see, in our current system, in which a small majority may have all the power and a large minority none, the chair of a congressional committee or a subcommittee, always a majority party member, by the way, decides whether a proposal will be considered and whose views will be solicited. He should change congressional rules to provide for a chairman from the majority party and a vice chairman from the minority party. You see, there is no such position exists in today's Congress. Did you know that? Except on very special non-legislating committees. Vice chairman need not ascend to the chairmanship in the chairman's absence, but each would have the authority to bring a bill forward and to invite expert witnesses to offer testimony. Oh, the process might be a little bit slower, but consideration of alternatives would be far more thorough. And sometimes slowing the process up might be a pretty bright idea anyway. Whichever party holds the majority, of course, will resist those changes. Party leaders see committee hearings not as a means to evaluate proposals, but as tools to advance predetermined agenda. Current committee process is transactional, not deliberative. By using committees to bypass true deliberation undercuts the very purpose of a people's legislature. Well, what about vacancies? Oh, they come up. Anthony Weiner comes to mind. Weiner had something a little vacant between the ears. But boy, if he'd have gone to jail, he certainly would have had nothing vacant. I'm sorry, this is a family hour. When our author served on a Republican committee that decided other members' committee assignments, he watched as party leaders sometimes refused to grant a slot to a member who was seen as unlikely to go along, or too inclined to exercise independent judgment, or maybe too nice to spearhead the combat that had come to characterize committee deliberations. Reminds us of a Gilbert and Sullivan operetta, HMS Pinafore, in which Sir Joseph, a former member of Parliament who has been appointed Lord Admiral of the Queen's Navy, recalls how he had achieved such great success. "I always voted at my party's call," he sings, "and I never thought of thinking for myself at all." Oh, my friends, that sounds so much like Americans in this country. I always voted at my party's call and never thought of thinking for myself at all. Jeez. Of course, the derivation of leadership in Congress from an internal version of the party primary or convention is an artificial construct. In every informal congressional subgroup, the Human Rights Caucus, the Rust Belt Caucus, the Flat Tax Caucus, the Black Congressional Caucus, the Hispanic Congressional Caucus. How about the Honky Congressional Caucus? All these people, these leaders are chosen without regard to party affiliation. But imagine how different the congressional dynamic would be if that practice prevailed in committee assignments. If three seats became open on a committee and five members sought appointment, the House could fill the positions by lot, thereby appointing committee members who were not beholden to party leaders for their selection and therefore not fearful that crossing party lines would cost them their position. They'd be freer to vote as they saw fit. After all, their constituents chose them not only for their policies, but for their temperaments, their knowledge and experience and values. Eventually, entire committees would be formed without any party division at all, merely members of Congress drawn together to consider problems and potential solutions for we the people. How about committee staffs? I think committee staff should be chosen solely on the basis of professional qualifications. Congressional staff members who provide the research that senators and representatives use in their deliberations are chosen to reflect the preferences of the individual members they serve. Yet, on the other hand, committee staff members who schedule the hearings, invite witnesses to testify, prepare background materials for committee members, and negotiate with staff members from other committees in the House and Senate are generally selected by the committee chair and the senior member of the minority. In effect, they're party appointees. But if the goal is to legislate for the country, not for the party, then committee staff members should be selected by a nonpartisan House or Senate administrator and obligated to serve all members equally without regard to party agenda. Ladies and gentlemen, if we really want change, change that will yield a Congress that is more representative and more functional, change that can be replicated in state and local governments, we need to rethink this party-driven structure we have so casually accepted for more decades than most of us have been alive. These changes would produce another important effect. It would strengthen Congress's ability to discharge its constitutional role. The Constitution grants Congress most of the federal government's real powers to spend, to tax, to create federal programs, declare war, approve treaties, confirm federal court appointments. All of these things have been pretty much made the Congress neutered because they've given all that stuff over to the likes of a George W. Bush or a Barack Hussein Obama. Stay with us. We'll be back with some final closing comments after this short break.
Every time it rains, a penis from heaven. Don't you know each cloud contains a penis from heaven? You'll find your fortune.
Berkey Purification Systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Wrapping up some thoughts and comments on this Friday night, talking about some of the reasons, some of the ways that we are so hamstrung in this country, why we can't get anything done. Obama blames the Republicans. The Republicans blame the administration and everybody else. They just can't seem to get their heads out of their assets so they can sit down and get everything worked out for the nation. Partisanship is murdering this country, if it has not done so already. If you begin to think of the House and the Senate in constitutional rather than partisan terms, we could eliminate party-driven links between Congress and the president. We could avoid the spectacle of legislative leaders acting as though they were either members of the president's staff or his sworn enemies, because that's what's happened. The Constitution intended the legislative branch to be separate, independent, equal, to be the people's voice, and to exercise, when necessary, a check on the executive, an obligation rendered moot in the context of party versus party governance. In a democracy that is open to intelligent and civil debate about competing ideas rather than program for automatic opposition to another party's proposals, we might yet find ourselves able to manage the task of self-government. Our current political dysfunction is not inevitable. It results from deliberate decisions that have backfired and left us mired in the trenches of hyper-partisan partisan warfare. Political parties will not disappear. As a free people, we will continue to honor this so-called freedom of association. The goal is not to destroy parties, but to transcend them, to welcome their contributions, but end their dominance, to take back from these private clubs control of our own elections, our own Congress, and in fact, my friends, our own country. It takes a degree of thought. It takes serious discussion of this caliber. We can play nice pieces of music talking about taking back America and We can listen to all the rah-rah. We can interview all the people we want about what's right, what's wrong. Much of it comes back to this very issue, this partisanship nonsense. And yet we, the people, have allowed it. We, the people, continue to turn our heads the other way and laugh about Chicago politics and how dead people are voting. We, the people, have turned our back on the entire voting system and the criminality of the voting machines and who owns them and who controls them and who maintains them. There's answers out there. Well, we have the guts to find them and act upon them. Certainly Congress is not going to do it. All the years they've had discussions about, you know, let's limit the time that a political office can be fulfilled. Let's cut it back to no more than 6 years, period. You know, three terms for a representative and one term or whatever the heck it is for a senator. Let it go at that. We don't have the guts to do it, and they're certainly not going to vote themselves out of a job. One final question before we get out of here, and we'll talk about it on Monday. What color toilet paper is hanging on the roll in your bathroom? If it's white, you're a racist. Thanks a lot for spending your time with me tonight. Lord willing, I'll see you on Monday. Without apology, I am Jeffrey Bennett. And I got you. Yes, I got you. I got you and all that jazz.